The question today is, what is the Holy Spirit's work in a believer after salvation? Of course, we've dealt with the fact of His work in salvation and finalized that with talking about He shed His love abroad in the heart as He indwells every believer. He also seals every believer, and then He also gives assurance. But now, after that comes, and salvation is complete, saved, secured, and finalized. Everything's to the point you know what the Lord's done, because you don't doubt what the Lord does. What does the Holy Spirit work? What is His work in the believer after salvation? Now, this will be part one today. I'll tell you the first thing that I'd like to deal with is the fact that the Holy Spirit teaches you. Now, if I say Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, it doesn't matter. They're one and the same. King James translates the same word both ways. More times so the Holy Ghost than He does the Holy Spirit. But the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 20, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things." And then in First John 2:27, He said, "But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him." Now, in verse 20 of 1 John 2, the word unction is the same Greek word as the word anointing in verse number 27 of 1 John chapter 2. And they're from the same Greek word, and they mean the reception of the Holy Spirit, which is a one-time occurrence. You're not going to be anointed more than once. Now, I know we preachers have been guilty of saying, "Lord, anoint us to preach today. Give us the anoint us. Give us unction." And you hear preachers speak that. But that's the wrong definition of that word. The word anointing and unction means reception of the Spirit, and that's a one-time occurrence. We don't need another anointing. We have the reception of the Spirit one time for all times, but we do need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit again and again. What we need to pray is, "Lord, is empower us today that we might be used of You." But the anointing comes at the point of the receiving the Spirit, being saved. And therefore, He said, "You need not any man teach you, because you have the reception of the Spirit. You have Him." John 16:12-15 said, and Jesus is speaking here to His disciples as He's on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now." In other words, you're not able to handle them right now. But, howbeit, or but, in essence, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come. And that's talking about the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of truth. He is the Holy Ghost. He will guide you into all truth. "For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He'll show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are Mine. Therefore said I, that He shall take of Mine, and shall show it unto you." Listen, the Holy Spirit teaches you and shows you things to come and will guide you into all truth. So if you're not being guided into all truth, the Spirit you have is not a Holy Spirit, it's an unholy Spirit. And you've got the wrong Jesus and the wrong God. You're in trouble, because the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth, and He'll not brag about Himself. He'll point you to the Lord Jesus. He'll tell you things about Him, His Master, the Master, if you please. Well, we have some today who are always bragging on the Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Well, I'll tell you, it's not the Holy Ghost they have. It's an unholy ghost, because He's not bragging about Himself. He's bragging on the Lord Jesus Christ. Titus 2:11-13 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." You realize something? He said grace has appeared to all men, and yet those who have really been saved have the Holy Spirit living inside, and that's undeserved favor, that He'll teach you all things. So grace gives you what you don't deserve, and that's salvation. But it also sets up a classroom in your heart, and the Holy Ghost is your professor. He's the teacher who lives inside. What does He teach you? He'll teach you to lay aside some things. Titus 2:12, the first part of that verse, says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. In other words, denying means to reject. So he said he'll teach you to lay aside some things or to reject ungodliness. What is ungodliness? Well, it's wickedness or anything that's against God. The Bible says in James 1:21, "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." The word "wherefore" looks back to talk about how that we've already been justified, is what he's dealing with in context. And we've already been saved by the Father of above. And yet, now he says we need to, at the saints of God, in James 1:21, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, that overflow of wickedness that's inside, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. And that meekness is a teachable spirit, because the Holy Spirit's teaching it to do that. Now, the word's engrafted because the Holy Spirit lives inside. The living word lives inside in the presence of a person of the Holy Spirit. I can't explain all that. Don't understand all that. But it happens, and it's real. It's truth. It's the Bible. And so, therefore, he'll teach you to deny ungodliness. But you need to receive what you already have. So he's talking about sanctification. He's talking about that walk of progression toward perfection that'll be gained at the first resurrection. And therefore, lay aside those things, but yet receive the engrafted word, which is able, present tense, to save your souls day by day from the power of sin. Romans 12:1, he said, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." It's not asking too much to do that. He said that's just your reasonable service. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22. He said, "Abstain from all appearance of evil." Now, we're not only to abstain from evil itself, but we're from the appearance of evil. Even that which seems to be wrong, we need to stay, in other words, that we need to stay away from. Now, there's a great variety of subjects, such as those pertaining to dress, amusements, the opera, the ballroom, the game of chance and hazard, a lottery, if you please, and various practices and transaction of business. They all come under this general class, appearance of evil. And he said, abstain from that. Well, who teaches that? The Holy Spirit teaches that you that on the inside. And even though there is a supposition that they cannot be proved to be in themselves positively wrong, I'm talking about some of these things, and forbidden, they still have the appearance of evil and will be interpreted so by others. And therefore, the safe and the proper rule is always to lean always to the side of virtue. And when in doubt, don't. Because the Holy Spirit teaches you to deny ungodliness. Reject that. Some say, "But preacher, we're under grace. We're not under law. You're teaching law." I want to tell you something. Grace is a greater deterrent than law ever was. When you've been saved. Now, it's true the saints are under grace. But did you know the lost man's still under the law of God? Look up in your Bible sometime and read 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 8 through 10. And we'll deal more with this in a subject later. But he says there the law is just and good and right. But it's not given for the righteous man, but for the unholy, for the murderers of fathers and mothers. In other words, sinners, anything that's contrary to sound doctrine. If you're not saved, you're still under the law of God. And the law of God brings condemnation and death. You ought to thank the Lord for the law, because the law backs you in a corner and lets you recognize that it wasn't given to save us, bring the knowledge of sin. Lets you realize that you're a sinner in need of a Savior and a Lord. Lord and a Savior, I should say, because it's in that order. And therefore, he backs you in a corner and shows you the door. But you see, say, "Yeah, but we, preacher, we're not under law, we're under grace." If you're saved, that's true. All saints are, but grace is not a license to sin. The Bible said in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 13, "For brethren," he's talking to the saints, "ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." In other words, some people today who say they're saved, they're walking in lasciviousness, their looseness in their life, because they say, "Well, I'm saved, I'm under grace, I can live like I want." No, that's not what the Bible said, because the Holy Spirit teaches you after you're saved to lay aside some things, deny ungodliness. Paul said it this way. He said, 1 Corinthians 6:12, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I'll not be brought under the power of any." Now, the word expedient means profitable or advantageous. In other words, it's not advantageous to me, Paul said. There's many things I could do, but it's not advantageous to me. It's not profitable to me. It's not so much to him as it would be to those around him who would saw, and he would become a stumbling block to them. 1 Corinthians 8:13, Paul said this about his own life. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I'll eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Now, the meat he's talking about there is that was offered to idols by the idolatrous Gentile world. And he said, if it's going to cause people to be offended, I'll not eat that meat. But the Lord had said, you bless that meat. It's all right to eat the meat as far as there's no law against that. He's under grace. And even unclean animals, Peter was, the Lord told him to slay and eat those unclean animals there that day, there in Acts chapter 10. In other words, bless, ask God's blessing on it. But Paul said, if it offends my brother, if it's going to cause him to stumble, I'll not do that. Why? Holy Ghost taught him that. He's the teacher. He'll teach you to lay aside some things, to deny or reject ungodliness, and he said, worldly lust. Now, worldly lust means a longing for what is forbidden. 1 John 2:15, he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, that's very plain. Now, the legalist is trying to put godly teaching inside ungodly people who've never had the Holy Spirit in as their teacher. In other words, trying to get them to leave off some things, to dress right and walk right and talk right, if you please. And they've never had a liver transplant, if you please. They've never been born again. And they've never had the Holy Ghost move inside to teach them and guide them into all truth. The Bible said in James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Listen, God's enemy is not going to heaven. We were all enemies of God before we were saved, but His precious blood changed that, and you're no longer an enemy. And so he said, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God, hostility toward God, an enemy of God, in other words? Folks, you've got the Holy Ghost, His work after salvation is to teach you some things. He'll teach you first to lay aside some things. Titus is very plain. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. And that's not just the preacher. That's all the presbyteries, the presbytery, but it's also the congregation as well. It's everyone. And he said, everyone who's been saved, I beg you, listen to what the Bible said. It's not what man says. It's not what I think or you think. It's what the Bible says. And he said he'll teach you. The Holy Ghost will teach you to deny some things. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying, good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.